Carnation Evaporated Milk presents Miss Jan Sterling on Stars Over Hollywood.
Don't forget, Mr. Everidge, I'm just a public stenographer. And if you think I'd accept a dinner invitation from a client, you're absolutely right.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood presents in person the world's best-known stars, actors you've seen in motion pictures and heard on radio, such famous names as John Payne, Jane Wyman, Dane Clark. Today, Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, brings you transcribed a star who is soon to be seen in the Paramount production Pony Express, Jan Sterling. The story, A Sail to Samarkand.
Ladies, when you buy milk, remember that no other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
You see, Carnation is milk that's concentrated to more than double richness. It's heavy enough to whip. As a result, Carnation is ideal for use in coffee, on cereals, and in cream recipes. Yes, and Carnation, even when mixed with an equal amount of water for ordinary milk purposes, gives you milk that is richer than your state standard for bottled milk. You'll notice a difference in your milk bills, too, when you use Carnation. So just remember, for most cream purposes, for all milk purposes, there's no finer, no richer milk you can buy than Carnation, the world's leading brand of evaporated milk. The milk from contented cows. And now, Act One of A Sail to Samarkand, starring Jan Sterling in the role of Amy. Curtain going up. The Acme Tower building is not the tallest skyscraper in Manhattan. It's one of the tallest. Among the thousands who spend each working day under its roof is a very personable young lady named Amy Hollister. Now it's evening and closing time, and...
Is the public stenographer in?
I'm the public stenographer. What can I do for you, sir?
Oh. Well, that is, you see, I...
You want to dictate a letter?
Oh, yes, but, frankly, when I looked at the directory downstairs, somehow I conjured up, Amy Hollister, public stenographer, room 1603, as a stout.
Indeed.
Sure.
Well, I've been working since I was 15.
Oh, with a sophisticated understanding of life.
I handle everything. Literary, legal, commercial.
Oh, not going to be commercial, I hope. It's personal. That's why I can't give it to anyone in my own office. Incidentally, I'm with Hubbard and Dean, head chemist on the ninth.
Well, just try to think of me as a trusted family solicitor.
You only look more like one. Don't think I've ever seen one with violet eyes.
To whom will the letter go, Mr.?
Everidge.
Everidge.
Well, all right. To Madeline. Miss Madeline Hyde, Post Office Box 22, Runnymede, Long Island. Dearest Madeline, No, better make it Madeline, dearest.
Uh-huh.
We had a slight accident in the lab yesterday, and as a result, I'm wearing some attractive bandages on my right hand. Nothing serious. It'll come off soon, so... Don't worry, darling. But in the meantime, the letters you demand will be typed by a discreet and efficient public stenographer. Getting it all, Miss Hollister?
Oh, yes, Miss Everidge.
Oh, good. Darling, you know I sympathize that if Norman puts this Bolivian deal over, it'll put him in the upper income bracket for life. You don't want to upset him by returning his ring while he's on it. But are you going to tell him you can't marry him when it's over? That's the burning question for me. Did you get that last, Miss Hollister?
Are you going to tell him you can't marry him when it's over? That's the burning question for me.
Right. By the way, could I use your office for mailing address?
Well, I suppose so. I'll find out what the usual fee is, and I'll let you know next time you come in.
Thanks. Now, shall we finish? Waiting while you make up your mind about me is devilishly lonesome business. Your loving Tom.
I'll type it right away, Mr. Everidge. Oh, hi, Byron.
Working late tonight, Amy? The special's bacon and watercress on rye, 35 cents.
Say, not proper nourishment for a girl with a sophisticated understanding of life. Look, you have to eat, Miss Hollister, and I have to eat. Why don't we do it together?
Well, if you think I'm the kind of girl who will accept a dinner invitation from a client, you're absolutely right.
No sale. Good night, Amy.
What is it, Byron?
Don't be forgetting Samarkand while you're eating.
Oh.
Samarkand? What does he mean?
Oh, well, sometimes Byron and I talk. You know, the meaning of life and all that. He's taking a course on how to get what you want, and, well, I happened to say to him once that some girls want mink and diamonds, but, well, I dream about a sail to Samarkand. I know one thing. But coffee will never be this good in Samarkand. I suppose that you and Madeline come here often.
Hmm? No, our place is Donetti's. Sicilian spaghetti, Czech tablecloths, and our favorite waiter, Jock.
Is she very beautiful?
Beautiful enough.
And is Norman very rich?
Rich enough.
I hate to say it, but some people do get everything.
Oh, no, hold on. She won't be rich with me. Well, I've made that very clear to her. You see, an old professor of mine has a laboratory in Sandusky, Ohio. I've agreed to join him. I'd be there right this minute if it weren't for Madeline. There'll be very little money, but... You know, I think he stumbled on something, and if we can make it work, there'll be less suffering in the world. Something to try for, sacrifice for, isn't it?
Oh, how can she hesitate? To help somebody who's helping other people. And that somebody, the man you love. If it were me, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. But you see, Madeline's hesitating because... Well, Miss Hollister, have you ever been poor?
I've always been poor.
Well, then you know what being poor is like. But you don't know what it's like not to be.
Well, what good is what she has without love? Oh, I know what I'd do if I had my choice.
Ah, but you don't know, not for sure. The untried can speak, but they can't prove what they say.
You mean that I've never really turned down Samarkand for love because... Well, nobody's ever offered it to me.
Hiya, fella. Didn't know you planned on eating here tonight.
Oh, I didn't. It's a lucky accident. Oh, Miss Hollister, this is my roommate, Gerald Payne.
How do you do?
Miss Hollister's a cliff toiler, Gerald. In fact, she toils in the same cliff we do. She's the public stenographer in the Acme Tower.
How do you do? I'm a wolf, I'm happy to say. I thought I'd spotted every pretty girl in the Acme Tower. Now it seems I've missed the prettiest of them all. These old eyes must be failing.
Waiter, check, please.
Don't leave, fella. The minute I looked at Miss Hollister, I knew I had a lot to say to her.
I'm about to see the lady home.
Where is that, Miss Hollister?
Westover Street. You all know it. Nobody does. It's in the village. It only runs for one block. If you're an acrobat, you know, you can get a glimpse of the Hudson from my living room. The plumbing's historical, but, well, the kitchenette isn't too bad.
It all seems to fascinate me. Do you cook in your kitchenette, Miss Hollister?
Never dare to say that you've lived until you've tasted my Romanian pot roast. It's the Hollister Sunday special.
We accept the invitation. Tom, fellas, Sunday we taste life and Romanian pot roast. Okay, Miss Hollister?
Well, okay. I'll expect you both.
Ready, Miss Hollister?
Ready, Mr. Everett.
Oh, good night, Gerald.
Oh, I'm coming along. Then we can go on home together.
Oh? What makes you think you can butt in?
Say, this isn't a case of two's company, three's a nuisance, is it?
Oh, nothing of the sort. I only met Miss Hollister professionally an hour or so before you did.
Well, I think it's so nice of you both to take me home. I'll never forget either one of you.
How about a nightcap, Tom?
Oh, okay by me.
Say, that's a right nice-looking lad.
You made no secret that was your opinion.
I like that girl. She's genuine. I wouldn't be at all surprised if I wound up by asking her to marry me.
What? Well, you just met her.
I've proposed twice before in my life. Each time I knew the first meeting, and each time the girl couldn't see it my way. Tom, what I want to know is, got any ideas in that direction yourself?
Me? Whatever gave you that idea?
Well, you've been moping around evening after evening lately, and tonight I spot you taking this new girl to dinner and for a quick analysis of the situation, enjoying it.
Oh, don't be a chump. You can't be in love with two girls at once.
Oh, so that's why you've been sulking in your tent. It's none of my business, so I insist on knowing. Who is the lady?
I can't tell you that. Not yet. She's not in the city, and I took Miss Hollister to dinner because I was lonely. Now you convinced I'm not your rival?
Yes, I am. And I don't mind admitting this takes a weight off my mind, fella. A handsome devil like you could be stiff competition.
A mighty hard-up devil once I leave for Sandusky. Well, here's to you, Gerald.
Thank you.
Your good income into the day when your Uncle Dudley retires makes you boss of Hubbard and Dean and filthy rich. And to Miss Violet Eyes. A fool if she passes you up. Amy Hollister, your chance, madame. Samarkand is about to be offered to you. And no matter what, you'll take it. You'll take it.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, A Sail to Samarkand, starring Jan Sterling, and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Before we return to the second act, here is Carnation's home service director, Mary Blake, to tell you how to treat dessert royally.
It's all in the topping, Art. You know, there are lots of desserts that call for whipped cream, but we're often frightened by the cost. So
that's where Carnation Evaporated Milk comes in, eh, Mary?
And thank goodness, Art. Carnation whipped beautifully. Yet it costs about one-fourth as much as whipping cream.
Well, how do you whip Carnation, Mary? Just use it undiluted?
That's right. You simply chill one cup of undiluted Carnation in a refrigerator tray until ice crystals begin to form around the edges.
Uh-huh. Chill in refrigerator tray until ice crystals begin to form. Then what?
Then you pour your chilled Carnation into a medium-sized bowl and whip with a rotary beater until slightly thickened.
Whip until slightly thickened, right?
Add 2 tablespoons of lemon juice.
2 tablespoons lemon juice.
And continue whipping for about 2 minutes. Sweeten as desired, and it's ready for any dessert. Incidentally, 1 cup of Carnation gives you 3 cups of whip, while 1 cup of whipping cream gives you only 2 cups of topping.
And Carnation costs 1/4 as much as whipping cream. Incidentally, Mary, that new dessert recipe booklet of yours that we're sending free to everybody who writes in, doesn't it contain these same instructions for whipping Carnation?
Yes, it does, Art. And I'd like to remind our listeners that there's still time to get a free copy. The booklet is called Desserts Plain and Fancy. And if you'll just send a card with your name and address to me, Mary Blake, Carnation Company, Los Angeles 36, California. That's Mary Blake, Carnation Company, Los Angeles 36, California. I'll see to it that you receive your copy of this free booklet by return mail.
Thanks, Mary Blake. See you later. We return now to the second act of A Sail to Samarkand, starring Jan Sterling in the role of Amy. Amy Hollister, whose dream it is to someday sail to Samarkand, knows that for her, money wouldn't do any good without love. Perhaps she's found both in Gerald Payne.
Amy, this is the largest deal Hubbard and Dean ever put through.
Oh, Gerald, it's wonderful. Tom and I knew you'd do it.
But you haven't heard the best part. This morning, Uncle Dudley told me that he felt I'd earned that round-the-world trip he promised me since I was a kid, and he told me to get going.
Oh, well, when do you leave?
Will you come with me, Amy? You won't be amazed to hear I love you.
Well, it's hard for people to hide what's in their hearts, isn't it? I won't pretend I didn't expect this.
We can take a map, stick a pin in it, and go there first. Any way you want.
Dawn in the mountains, sunsets over strange waters, not Staten Island.
Is it yes, Amy?
Oh, I wish it could be. And it's that much harder for me to say no because, well, I'm so fond of you. If only we could order these things.
Even knowing how you feel, I'd be willing.
No, I'm afraid it wouldn't be any good without love.
There's someone else, isn't there?
Uh-huh. It's only on my side, though.
It's Tom, isn't it?
How did you guess?
You said yourself it isn't easy to hide what's in the heart. Of course, I kept trying to persuade myself I was wrong.
Oh, you don't think he suspects, do you?
Oh, no. He's too wrapped up in that woman he writes to, whoever she is.
And I type the letters. Do you know, Gerald, that once or twice I came close to, well, tearing them up instead of mailing them for him. If that would do me any good. Even if she turns him down, he'll go to Sandusky. Right out of my life. Oh, I'm sorry, Gerald.
Oh, don't be sorry, Amy. I haven't given up, not yet. You've got until sailing time, 2 weeks at least, to think it over. I'm a diehard where you're concerned, Amy.
Oh,
bore me. How's Amy?
Oh, bearing up, I suppose, considering that I just asked her to marry me.
And of course she said yes.
She said, sorry, no. Some silly business about love. Oh, Tom, I don't seem to have any luck in these matters.
Why, the little fool.
That's what I think.
Well, she'll go on beating her youth out in that cubbyhole of an office rather than compromise with her ideals. She's been offered Samarkand, and she's turned it down.
Well, that may mean something to you, but I'm afraid I can't be objective about this, Tom.
Yeah, I know.
But I haven't given up all hope. She may change her mind before I leave. There's still a chance.
Oh, of course there is. You know, still, she's shown me something. There are women who don't quibble when it comes to love, who don't weigh and measure their emotions. Women who have courage.
I suppose so.
And now Madeline's got to choose. No more keeping me dangling. I've kept Professor Schumer waiting long enough. I'm going to demand my answer one way or the other, and I'm going to do it tomorrow. Good evening, Amy. Any pale gray envelope today?
Oh, yes, here it is.
Oh, thanks. Mind if I read it here? I may want to dictate an immediate reply.
No, not at all.
Thanks. Having more time. Marriage is a serious business. If you would let me see you. And if only I were 18 now, plunging recklessly after my heart.
What did you say?
If only I were 18 now, plunging recklessly after my... Oh, I didn't realize that. I was reading for Madeline's letter.
Well, did she?
Did she what?
Well, follow her heart when she was 18.
Come to think of it, she didn't. There was a boy she loved. In the end, she sent him away because he had no future. She's not in love with Norman. Oh, of course, she respects and admires him. She may even be very fond of him. Look, can you take a letter now? It'll be boring but brief.
You can begin.
Okay. Dearest, I've come to the end of this particular road. You've had more than enough time to decide what you're going to do about me. I shall be at Donetti's 8:30 on Friday. If you come, it means we announce our engagement to Norman and the world. If you don't, I'll understand, and this letter will be goodbye for good. But don't walk through Donetti's thick oak door unless you're ready to become Mrs. Thomas Everidge. It's up to you, baby. It always was. Love, Tom.
Oh, you want to wait while I type this?
No, I can't. I'm on my way to my doctor's. The next time you see me, these bandages will be off.
The next time I see you, you'll be an engaged man.
Oh, you think she'll be there?
Of course. I told you once. I know what I do.
Yes, you proved it, too. Gerald told me. If she comes, she'll be the first to know.
And if she doesn't?
Well, trains leave every day for Sandusky. Amy.
Yes?
I want you to know I've grown very fond of you.
Fond? Oh, I'm beginning to hate that word.
Though I've never said it before, don't think I don't realize what a swell little sport you've been. Listening to me go on about Madeline, taking such an interest in...
Oh, Tom, I...
Yeah, and all the time inside, you've really been thinking what a prize sap I am. Letting a woman keep me on the griddle like that. Now, come on, admit it.
Oh, no, Tom, I don't think you're a sap. I don't think you're a sap at all. I think you're the most decent person I've met in a long time. Giving up your job here to go with Professor Schumer and, well, just everything.
Well, so long, Amy.
Oh, wait. Let me kiss you for luck.
Say, with a send-off like that, I just can't miss, can I?
You want me to mail this letter for you?
Yeah. Just scribble my signature and drop it in the box, would you? Goodbye.
Good luck. Oh.
Evening. Amy, specials, ham and... Hey, what's the matter with you?
Oh, nothing, Byron, nothing. I'm sorry, I won't be wanting anything tonight.
Well, is there anything I can do? Gee, I hate to see you this way. You're always smiling.
Oh, thanks, Byron, you're sweet. No, you just can't order these things. And once I mail this letter I'm typing, it's all over for me. But she won't be happy in Sandusky, I'll bet.
I always tell you, you're not practical enough. Of course, I don't know the details, but... Mailing that letter is going to make you miserable. I say, why mail it? Think it over, Amy.
Why mail it? She doesn't love him. Not really. she didn't come, he'd think it was over. Well, no, maybe even if she got the letter, she wouldn't come. Why not at least try to order these things? If she didn't come, there'd be a chance. There'd be a chance for me. At least a chance.
Now listen, Jock. In a few minutes, it'll be 8:30. If I'm sitting here alone, bring me a cool drink.
Yes, sir.
And if you see a lady walk through that door and join me.
Yes.
Bring me a double scotch.
The usual lady, Mr. Everidge?
Yes, the usual lady. But the most unusual one, really. Yeah, the way she listens to your every word. Really listens. That gallant, springy walk of hers. You know, it shows courage, that walk. And her smile. There's heart and humor there. When she sees me, the violet in her eyes will deepen it. Say.
What's wrong, Mr. Everidge?
Blind, sure. Sure, I've been blind. Jack, give me some paper to write on. Hurry up, man.
Here. Use the back of the menu. And I'll go get your scotch.
Thanks. Dear Madeline, I'm leaving this for you in case you should come after all. I know you'll think I'm crazy, but I'm glad you haven't told Norman. You were right all the time when you said you were afraid it wouldn't work for us. I can write this now because I've just made a discovery. I'm in love. And when I finish this, I'll be on my way to ask the girl to marry me. Best to you always, Tom.
I'm a minute early. Here's your double scotch.
Can't wait for it. Now look, Jock, if Miss Hyde, the usual lady, should turn up, give her this note, will you?
Well, certainly, Mr. Everidge. I'll put it right here in my apron pocket. Thank you.
Oh.
Amy, what are you doing here?
Oh, I was so afraid I'd miss you. I rushed like mad to bring you this telegram. Luckily, I was working late.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew how you'd feel if she didn't come, but this probably explains everything.
Now sit down, Amy. I want to talk to
you. Well, aren't you going to open your telegram?
Look, it can wait. I was just this minute going out to find you. It all hit me only just now. Look, I thought I was waiting for Madeline, but I wasn't. I was waiting for you.
What?
For you, Amy.
Do you know what you're saying?
Sure. I love you, Amy. Every minute since we met, it was growing and growing. Only now I'm afraid.
Afraid? Afraid of what, Tom?
Afraid you might think I'm asking you because Madeline isn't here. I'd spoil everything if you thought that I... Say, wait a minute.
Oh, the rest of my life.
What a dope I am. Amy, it was you whether Madeline came or not. And what's more, I can prove it. I wrote her a note just a few minutes ago telling her about you. You look, you see that waiter right over there near the bar with the loaded tray? Well, that note's right in there in his pocket. And another minute, you can see it for yourself.
Oh, never mind, Tom. I don't need to see it. I trust you. Like you trusted me to mail the letter to Madeline. When I kissed you, I gave myself away. You must have known then how I felt about you.
Oh, maybe, only. Well, I didn't dare admit it, even to myself.
No. There were some terrible moments. You know, I came close to not sending the letter. Oh, how glad I am I did.
Well, let's tackle this now, huh? Meeting, Norman here, stop. Deal came through, stop. Impossible to hurt Norman, stop. Please understand, Madeline. The dateline's Miami.
Stop! You're ditched!
Oh. Oh, if only I could give you Samarkand instead of Sandusky.
Oh, Professor Schumer, here we come. Sandusky? Oh, we'll make it, Samarkand.
So the curtain comes down on the final act of A Sail to Samarkand, this week's Stars Over Hollywood show, as presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Jan Sterling. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meantime, how about a curtain call, Jan Sterling?
I'm right with you, Art, and for the second time, it seems.
A return visit from you, Jan, is always welcome. You were terrific, as usual.
Oh, well, thanks. Compliments I can use.
Could you, by chance, use a cup of coffee?
Oh, well, you bet I could.
Well, there's a cup here poured and waiting for you. Here you are.
Oh.
Incidentally, Jan, I took the liberty of creaming your coffee with Carnation evaporated milk. How does it suit you?
Mmm, it's very, very good. Delicious, in fact.
You know, it's wonderful how a few drops of carnation can add such richness and smooth satisfaction to a cup of good coffee. To such an extent, by the way, that millions of coffee lovers actually like carnation better than cream. Remember, it's heavy enough to whip. And it costs less than half as much as cream, besides. To anybody who likes good coffee, I say, cream it with Double Rich Carnation, the milk that whips. And now, Jan, here's something to remember us by. This bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of carnation evaporated milk.
Oh, they're beautiful, Art. Thank you so much. I'll see you soon. And goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Jan Sterling. Next Saturday, Stars Over Hollywood will present Dane Clark in an intriguing play titled The Saga of Steve the Stooge. And now, here's Mr. Clark.
Now, get this straight, Mr. Higgins. I'm fed up with this paper, I'm fed up with this job, and most of all, I'm fed up with you. I'm through being a stooge.
Thank you, Dane Clark. We'll all be back here next week to hear you in this amusing play. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood presentation was written by Belle Bruck. Jan Sterling appeared through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, whose current release is Just For You, a Technicolor production starring Bing Crosby, Jane Wyman, and Ethel Barrymore. Supporting Miss Sterling were Tom Brown, Peter Leeds, Dave Roberts, and Jim Nusser. Music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey, and the program was directed and transcribed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure to have Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, on your shopping list. No other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Good, good, good. For milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, rich, rich. For milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Tune in every Saturday and hear the world's greatest motion picture stars in person on Stars Over Hollywood. Next Saturday, we're proud to present Dane Clark in the saga of Steve the Stooge. Stay tuned now to hear Fun for All, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
This is the CBS Radio Network.